Hello and welcome to the Tank Slappers podcast, Autosport and the Motorsport Network's podcast for all things two-wheeled. I am your host, Lewis Duncan, and joining me as ever is Oriol Puigdemont. And Yuri, he's back. The king returns. Marc Marquez will be back in action this weekend in the Portuguese Grand Prix. And, well, I'm excited. You know, it's the news we've been waiting for 260-odd days.
Yeah. Frankly, we thought that he was going to be back by the first race, at the first race of the calendar. And it was like, when we got the news that he was going to miss the first two races in Doha. But yeah, he's finally back. And then let's see which version of Marc Marquez are we gonna see in Portimao, which is not the easiest track to come back after 9 months being out of the bike, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's one of probably the hardest track you come back to. He has done some riding around there. He did a test on the Honda RCV road bike, but a road bike and a MotoGP bike are two completely different beasts. I think you're right there. You touched on the main point. We need to see what Marquez we get back. And this generated a big debate on social media at the weekend when the news was announced. Honda helpfully announcing that while most people are asleep. So thanks for that, Honda. A lot of people think, he's not going, you know, I've asked the question, is he going to come back and dominate? First weekend, probably not. But I just can't imagine him being slow. It just doesn't seem, even though he's been off the bike for so long, it just doesn't seem the Marquez way.
I don't know. There's some interesting things to find out. And not only next weekend, but in the next coming races. Because, first of all, we need to see the impact of this period being out of racing, which impact has it had on him, because I don't see, to be honest, I don't see Marc racing in a different way, because in the end he's been racing with this aggressivity and with this power all his life. I don't think he's he knows to race in a different way. But at the same time, it will be interesting to see which impact this accident, the consequences of this accident have had on him. I remember Franco Morbidelli, which in my opinion is one of the most intelligent guys of the grid, he said, I'm very curious on see which kind of markets are we going to have, because the humans, we have this, let's say, self, we try to protect ourselves about the VAT moments in our lives. So maybe unconscious, he will react different than in the past. I don't know if you get what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, 100%.
It will be very interesting to see how he reacts to these 9 months being out of the bike.
Yeah, that's a very interesting point, and it's something I haven't actually considered, because you're right. I mean, people deal with bad moments in different way. Some people don't like to think about it. Other people, you know, like to think about these things and, you know, compare their situation back then to how it is now and how things are better. And I like to think Marc would be in the latter category, that he knows what he's come through, and the fact that he's back and able to ride again will be a big sort of motivation for him, that he's come through a really difficult period and he's still, at least mentally, he's still in the right mindset to be a racer.
Yeah, I think that there's one really interesting point. I think that he has the capacity of understand the 9 months out of the bike came after trying to come back too soon. Mm-hmm. Not because of his riding style, not because of his aggressivity on the bike or any other thing related to his way to ride a bike. It mm-hmm. was just because of a misjudgment, medical misjudgment of his injury. End of the story. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's not related to his way of writing. So I think mm-hmm. that can help him in that
yeah,
way.
Yeah.
I don't know if
it makes any sense. Yeah, no, 100%. I totally get what you mean. I guess Mark comes into this weekend really with no pressure on him because Honda has already said, look, what we expect of Marquez is totally irrelevant to what he expects from himself. So I think what Honda will do, they'll just let him get on with the weekend and let him go about things in his own way, let him get back up to speed. And there's no pressure on him to do any results. That, in a sense, makes things different because we know Marx, he's a psychological warrior. He loves the mind games and he loves inflicting the psychological damage on his rivals. So if he comes back and is quick, he knows that that will have a big impact on the rest of the grid. But there's no kind of pressure, I don't think, on him to do that as such.
I don't think after what happened in the last, 6, 7, 8 months, I mean, the only fact that he is able to come back racing again is a win-win situation for everybody.
Mm.
So I don't see, after the pressure that he had to deal with in the last months, I don't see Mark feeling the pressure of having to win again. Or, you know, I mean, from the place that he's coming from the dark point or the dark place that he's coming from, in my opinion, that pressure was much heavier than the one that he will have to deal with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense because he's, you know, like you say, there was a point last year when the bone wasn't healing that there was never really a guarantee that we would see Mark again. We just didn't know. And I guess there was at a point he must have thought about that. You know, he said publicly that he never thought his career was over, but there must have been points where he thought, you know, this bone's not healing. You know, what am I going to do? It's not, you know.
I think it's human. It's human to think this way. Everybody would think after 3 surgeries, after the infection in the last one. So, so that's why I think that that pressure was much heavier than the one that he's going to have to deal with in the next coming races, even this championship. To be honest, I don't see, I mean, not even from Honda, not from anybody. I mean, again, the main fact, the only fact that he's being able to come back racing is a win-win situation for everybody.
Yeah.
For Honda, of course, for him, but for Honda, for the championship, even for his rivals, because they will have the opportunity to win without any if or yes, but.
Yeah.
So there will be no excuses.
Yeah. We've spoken about that a lot over the winter, about why we need Marquez back. I guess you touched there on Honda. From Paul Espargaro's point of view, I think he's looking forward to having Mark back because if you listen to what he was saying after the Doha round, particularly when it comes to qualifying, he's a bit lost on the Honda. He doesn't understand it and he doesn't understand because he doesn't have a reference there of someone that can go much quicker than him. On the race trim, he knows he's good, but in that qualifying, I think he sort of needs Marquez back and he needs to see Marquez's data flesh as such.
Yeah, but there's another point of view because he's never been, 9 months out. So let's see in which level he comes back. I don't have any doubt that he will be closer and closer and closer and he will end up on top. I don't know if in one race, in 2 or 3 races, but I'm 100% convinced that he will be end up on top. But the thing is, I'm really curious to see in which kind of, yeah, what level he will have in Portimao.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting because the landscape Mark comes back to as well is very different from the one he left. You know, 9 different riders won Grand Prix last year. You know, we have 5 bikes now that are capable of winning races. We saw a lot of people that were capable of being really quick in Qatar. He comes into a championship that has not moved on, but you know what I mean? It's definitely shifted the competitive landscape. And that's another interesting factor to see how he kind of slots into that and how he reacts to it once he gets back up to full fitness.
Yeah. I think he will have to fight against that because it's not the same when you are there, when you are dominant. In a way, you are in a, I wouldn't say superior position, but you are in a privileged position respect to the others. Now, he will have to come back there, but by improving and improving and being faster and faster and faster every session and every race. So yeah, I think it will be a super exciting process to watch. Unfortunately, yeah, from home.
Yeah. That's the unfortunate part. We're not going to get to be there for a few more rounds at least. But like you say, having Mark back is good enough, and it'll be great for the championship because if you look. I don't mean to be a downer because, you know, we love MotoGP on this podcast, but if you look at sort of how social media has been over the past couple of weeks for the first 2 rounds, MotoGP wasn't really massive on social media. It didn't have the same impact as Formula One, you know. The championship in terms of standout kind of headline grabbing things has definitely missed a big name like Marquez, you know, because if you look at the guys... the big names before, you know, Dovi's gone, Kyle Crutchlow's not around, Rossi's not doing great. You know, we haven't had Mark around, and I think that's when he comes back, that'll help generate a lot more interest in the championship.
Yeah, but I think that that's life. I mean, there's a change of generation, and yeah, of course we were missing Mark because he's the benchmark, and it's like when Michael Schumacher was winning in Formula One. So imagine if at that point, let's say, 2003 or 2004, he stops for a year. Wow. Or even with Valentino, the first years with Honda. So it would be the same. So it's a big, big, big lost. And a big missing point of the championship. So, I mean, these young talents that we're having at the moment, Fabio, Joan Mir, even Maverick, they are, let's say, building up their names.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, normally there's a process when the young... Mm. Talents arrive, the old talents are still there for a period of time. They race for a while, and then the old ones retire. At that point, we lost Mark, the benchmark, and the others were arriving.
Yeah. It was interesting to watch that last year because if you look at the interest in MotoGP was massive because it was a different year because you had so many different storylines and there was obviously that anticipation that Mark would come back at some point. This is going off topic slightly. It's interesting because if you look at this new generation of rider versus the old generation versus the Rossis and the Lorenzos and the Pedrosas and the Stoners. There's no real rivalries between any of the new guys. They don't kind of make any comments to the press so much. You know, they're quite, and I don't mean this in a nasty way, they're quite kind of boring. Because you look at their social medias and all they do is they like riding motocross.
I would say polite.
They like playing the PlayStation.
I would say
than
boring.
In terms of causing controversy, they're really lovely people. You know, they play PlayStation, they play Warzone with each other and they play, you know, they like playing with their dogs and, you know, that's it. They don't really like the whole sort of, you know, it's quite hard nowadays to get kind of a controversial reaction out of a rider when there's an incident because they tend to go, it happens. You know, obviously Joanne and Jack Miller was a different situation, but you know, they we need, not that Mark's like that, but we need a character like Mark who, you know, there is needle there between him and Rossi. Yeah, we haven't seen a true Maverick Mark fight or a true Fabio Mark fight. And those are interesting things we want to see. And I think people are missing.
Yeah. But I think that there's two different things, because I think that the respect that the riders, most of the riders have for each other, is bigger than ever before. So that's one thing. And the other thing that there's, yeah, you're right that there's no a real rivalry, because in last years, Mark has been, I mean, yeah, really, really, really superior to the others. So the only one was Valentino, and after what happened in 2015, the situation was getting the tension went up. But after that, yeah, we had the Termas clash, but it was not because they were fighting for title. It was just because a racing incident or, you know, race situation. So we don't have this rivalry, because Mark is simple. He hasn't had any rival. The only one was Dobby, and they've been racing for a lot of years, so they have a lot of respect for the other.
Yeah, for sure. It's this situation is where we definitely need this Amazon series, because that will be, I think, huge in terms of showing off the championship. But we'll see how that goes over the next year or so. Just finally, on seeing as we are looking forward to this weekend, Mark's back, but you know, we have a new championship leader in Johann Zarco. He's going so strong in the Ducati. You spoke to Paolo Ciabatti from Ducati, and they're really, really pleased with Zarco, and it'll be interesting to see how he goes this weekend carrying that momentum at a completely different circuit. You know, how Jorge Martin goes. The big interest for me is Yamaha. If Fabio and Maverick can be strong in Portimao, I think that's going to be a great, great sign for the rest of the championship for them.
Yeah, I think that Zarco is very balanced at the moment. And I think that Ducati knows that. And that's why they are offering him full support, not only technically, but also in terms of, you know, he can feel that he's part of the family and that Ducati is taking full care of him. So, which I think it's really important for a guy like Zarco. And Ciabatti told me that in Ducati's, from Ducati's point of view, they don't care about the color of the bike winning bike. I mean, as long as it's a Ducati, I mean, they say that they not only have two factory bikes, they have four factory bikes in two factory teams with different sponsors. End of the story.
And just your thoughts on Yamaha. It was obviously, Qatar was great for them. A little bit unexpected the way they won those races, but this is, Portimao is probably the most important sort of challenge that they'll face, because if this weekend's not great, then it shows us a lot of work to do. But if it's good, then, you know, it shows that this 2021 bike is good. And like you mentioned last week, it puts a bit of pressure on someone like Rossi, who's really, really struggling right now.
Yeah, definitely. I think that he needs to deliver soon, because otherwise will be very difficult for him to justify renewing his contract for next year. And I think that he only has few races left before the due date, and so yeah, I don't know. I think Yamaha, it's, as you say, it's a crucial point of the calendar for them, because they will have to underline to prove that this year's bike is a step forward in compared with the last one.
Yeah, 100%. And there's a lot of interesting things to watch out for this weekend, not just Mark.
Yeah, and yeah, KTM as well. They need to
KTM. We need to see
to change the dynamics. They need to to show that. I mean, don't forget that last year Oliveira was in another level. So let's see what happened this year, because in a way, and let me finish with this. I see the races in Portimao, especially last year, like the first race we had in Laguna Seca, when Nicky Hayden was the one taking advantage of his experience racing in there at the track. So I think last year with Oliveira we had the same. Let's see this year with all the other riders having more and more experience.
Another one that'll be interesting is Juan Mir. See how he responds to what was, you know, average results in Qatar by a world champion standard. And I think with Mark coming back, he would be quite keen to sort of make sure the spotlight's still on him, you know, with a win. Say, look, yes, Mark's back, but I'm still the world champion and I can still win the world championship.
Yeah, I think, to be honest, I think that the pressure will be on Juan in the next coming races, because at some point he will have to deliver. He will have to make a statement. Mm-hmm. So let's see. Let's see if he's able to do it in Portimao.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot to look forward to this weekend. I can't wait to get going. Yuri, thank you very much for your time. I know it's quite late over where you are, so you've earned earned a rest, earned a break for the next few days, I think.
Thank you.
And we will be back next week, of course, to discuss what should hopefully be another excellent weekend of MotoGP action. Keep it with Autosport and motorsport.com for all your stories and features and everything else that we do. You know, it's another busy weekend of MotoGP and Formula One and all sorts. So, yeah, a lot to keep you entertained. But until then, it's a very warm goodbye, and keep looking after yourselves.